Good morning. Today's daf and Mitzia's Chav Vav. We're going to be starting at the Mishnah Chav Hem and Beis. More regarding Mitzia. You find an item, so under certain circumstances, you got to find its owner, return it to its owner. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Under other circumstances, you can go ahead and keep the item. It's yours. Find its keepers. And then, as we learned in yesterday's daf, there actually is a third option, which is don't do anything. Leave it there. In other words, the owner left it there by design, and so what you don't want to do is you don't want to upset what the owner intended to do, so you leave it there. Okay, so how do you know which option to do? So that is, you're going to learn the second parak of Bava Metzia, which is what we're doing right now. So you learn the second parak, and you get the basic yesodos in terms of when to find its owner, when to keep it, and when to just leave it alone. So with all that stated, so we continue now. We're at the Mishnah Chav Hem and Beis. So Matzah Begal, Uvikosu Yashan. So I find the lost item, and where do I find it? I find it amongst the rubble. The rubble over here, Gal is just simply a pile of stones, but as Rashi points out over here, once upon a time, it was a wall. It was a wall, and the wall fell down. And so now it's reduced to a pile of stones, and you find an Aveda there. So you go searching through the through piles of stone, and you find an Aveda over there. So you get to keep it. And the same thing is true regarding an old wall. And so it's an old wall. Now, this old wall belongs to somebody, but nevertheless, you get to keep it. Now, why? So let's hold off on that question. So it's a fair question. It's more than fair. But nevertheless, Harei Elu Shalom, so these are yours. So finders, keepers. However, because of Chadash, but now the Mishnah continues, the Mishnah says, but what if I find it in a new wall? In other words, so it was newly constructed and the walls has got holes in it. Now, if you're curious about the kind of walls that they had back in the good old days where there were lots of holes in the wall, so what can I tell you? That was back then, that was popular. And that is that the walls were holy. Okay, I'm sure with sanctity, but in other words, but literally they were holy. And they had holes going in. Now, remember back in Pesachim, we discussed this extensively. Right. In other words, when you're doing Bedikas Chametz, so here we are now, post Purim. So you learn a little bit about Pesach, right? Shloshim Yom. So so how far into the walls do you have to go in order to be searching for Chametz? So that is a discussion there in the beginning of the Masechta Pesachim, because in other words, all the walls back in the good old days had holes in them, and the holes went internally, externally. The holes were everywhere. So over here now, you find a lost item within the holes of a wall. So what can you assume? So the Mishnah tells us what we're gonna do is that we're gonna put a demarcating line right there in the middle of that wall, and now we're gonna have the exterior portion, the interior portion. And the Mishnah says, so because of Chadash Michetziv Alachut Shalom Michetziv Lefnim Shabal Abayis. So it depends now where you find the Mitzia. Did you find the Mitzia on the interior side, on the exterior side? If you find it on the exterior side, you get to keep it. If you find the interior side, it belongs to the owner of the home. So, im hayam maskiro lachirma, filo besocha bayis harelu shalom. Now, had it been that this is an Airbnb, okay, can you imagine the Mishnah is describing an Airbnb? Why not? So, if this house is an Airbnb and you had many people now renting out the location, and now you found an item in the house, so who belongs to it? Doesn't belong to the tenant, not even the most recent tenant, but rather belongs to the homeowner. Okay, so there's a lot to understand over here in this Mishnah, a lot of things that we talked about that we really have made almost no sense of, in terms of why that should be. One thing I'll do right now in the Mishnah, because Rashi does it in the Mishnah, and that is let's go to the exterior portion of the home, which is that now that you find a mitzvah in somebody's wall, but from the outside, not from the inside. And again, it was on the outer half of that wall. There's that dividing line right there in the middle of the wall, and on the outer half you found a mitzvah, you get to keep it. Why? So Rashi writes over here, look and see Rashi in the Mishnah. So, be'echad mechari koso ha'smuchim l'rushos ha'rabim, matzah mechatzi ovev shel koso v'lachut shalom, de'amrinan. So, over here, the thought process is the following. De'echad mimnei rushos ha'rabim, nasur shem v'shachach. Meaning, what happened is that somebody was walking by somebody, the outside of somebody's house. In other words, we're assuming over here that the house is adjacent to the rushos ha'rabim. And so, somebody's walking by, and what does he have to do? He has to tie shoes. And so what he needs to do is he needs to put his things down. He doesn't want to put it down on the ground. Ah, there's a wall right over here, and there's a hole right over here. And so what he's going to do is he's going to just leave the item right there in the hole in the wall, tie his shoes, and then, man, can I relate to this? Have totally forgotten now that he left the item in the wall. And then he'll just continue on his way, having left the item over there. Rashi writes, Now, Rashi writes, now you remember what we learned in yesterday's daf? It was all of yesterday. Okay. Granted, by the way, that in terms of time interval, it's the same amount of time between yesterday and today, and between any other days, but also yesterday was Purim, so I can understand, by the way, that if you're not fully remembering what happened yesterday. But if you remember yesterday in Bab Metzia Chav Hei, so we talked about the idea of Hinuach, even Suffolk Hinuach, which is that if you can make an argument that the person over there placed it there by design, so then you are supposed to leave it there. That was option three that we learned in yesterday's daf. And even if you don't know that for sure, even if it's Suffolk Hinuach, but as long as it's a possibility that someone left it there by design, so you leave it there. So over here, Rashi says, why don't we say that? So Rashi says, I'll tell you why we don't say that, who? So Rashi says is that what I have to remind you, and not remind you, wrong description, but what I'm going to foreshadow is the upcoming Gemara. The upcoming Gemara is going to teach us that the item that was found on the wall was extremely old. It was rusty. And so therefore, there is now more of a likelihood that this item was not left by somebody recently, but was somebody that left it there in the distant past. Now you can assume that there's Yesh, and now you can go ahead and you can keep it for yourself. Okay. All we did so far was we went through a Mishnah. The Mishnah has numerous scenarios of finding something within a wall. The wall was either collapsed, or the wall was old, or the wall was new. And we went over the various parameters of when you have to find its owner, when you get to keep it. Okay. So, we start with the Gemara. The Gemara is going to open up with a really simple, straightforward question. Tanam im nishiyach olomalo, shel amoraim hein. Well, the Gemara doesn't start with a question, but it's the assumed question of the Gemara, which the Gemara is explaining, which is that if I find an item in a rubble or an old wall, I get to keep it. That's the first pisk of our Mishnah. And effectively, the Gemara is asking why. You get to keep it, meaning it's not yours. And let's go even further. In other words, let's say it's a non-generic item, meaning it has a simen. And now you get to keep it? Why? Why do you get to keep it? You should be looking for its owner. So that's what the Gemara is explaining. Because so the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, because it probably belonged to the Amorim. Now that's right, we're talking about one of the Canaanite nations, right? So there are Zion Ami Canaanim living in Canaan, Amorim being one of them. I don't know why we singled out Amorim. I'm sure there's a reason why, but it doesn't matter. So I'm sure there's a good reason why, but the point is that, so this item that was found over there is unbelievably old. Going all the way back to the Amorim. Keep in mind, by the way, the Amorim is now during the Tkufa of Yahushua. Okay. The idea that a house can last that long a period of time. Now, I know we described even a rubble, but also we described an old wall. We're talking about an ancient wall. Okay, good. I admit it's a little bit strange, but the point over here is that because now we're making the argument that this item belonged to the Amorim, so therefore there was no previous Jewish owner. In other words, the item belonged to the Amorim. The question which everyone here is wondering. So, Atu Amorim, it's Nivi Solom Matne. Okay, fine. It could have belonged to the Amorim, but it also could have belonged to a Jew. Meaning, look, it's a very antiquated item. I get it, but okay. In other words, the Amorim could have left it there, so could have a Jew left it there. So, Lo Tzricha D'Shasich Tfei. Okay, so. The Gemara says, and we're on the top of Chavav Amidalf, today's Zaf. And that is, it's rusty. Rashi, hello, chaluda rabba. It's really rusty. Dekule hailo shavik lehu. Okay, so it's really rusty. So this is a really antiquated item. And so therefore we can go ahead and we could forecast that. Not forecast, other direction. We can assess. We can gauge that this item was left here years and years ago. And it could even go back to the time of the Amorim. Okay.
If it was a little bit rusty, then you have to call it.
And presumably, right. In other words, the Gemara's Lashon over here, Shasif Tvei, means that was really rusty.
Even if it has no simen?
Well, no, if it has no simen, so then I don't even know if you need all this argument.
Right.
If it has no simen, so then we can assume that presuming that the owner knows that he lost it, so then there's Yesh. Over here, even, the Chiddush over here is that even though it has a simen, still, you can trace it all the way back to the MRA. Okay. The Rishonim are all bothered by the question. I'll just raise it. It's just such a worthwhile venture to think about this. Rishonim really struggle with the following, and that is that you have something in your property that was left by, ages ago by the Amorim, and it's on your property. And so why isn't the owner of that property kona the item? Kinyan Chatzer. That's your house. That's your property. So we know when someone puts something in your property, so that property is kona for you. We had an entire sugi here in Bab Metzia about how your chatzah is kona. Is your chatzah mishum yad? Is your chatzah mishum shliach? Remember, we had that discussion. not that long ago here in Bab Metzia. And so about 2 weeks ago, we had the discussion in the Masechta. So over here, it's your house. So in other words, so you should be kona the item with Kinyan Chatzar. Someone finds it, gets to keep it. What are you talking about? You took it from my house. Oh, it belonged to the Emorim. Good, I'm glad it did. So, but it's my house. So my house should be kona. So,
it's,
Well, the rental we're going to get to. The rental is also going to be difficult. The Gemara is going to try to wrap its head around that. But right now. So why aren't you kona by virtue of the fact that you have something on your property? Good. So the Rishonim are bothered by that. And you can see Tosus right here on the top of Chavav Amad Aleph bothered by it. Makes an attempt to answer this issue. Okay. It needs an answer. Good. We're not going to go through the answers right now, but I'm just pointing out it's more than worthwhile venture. Let's go. Because of Chadash, we are continuing in the Gemara Chavav Amad Aleph. So because of Chadash, Mechesev Elachut Shalom, Mechesev Elefnim Shal Balabais. Okay. So new wall. So new wall, it's got holes in it, both interior and exterior holes. So it depends where you find the item. If you find it on the exterior side, you get to keep it. If it's found on the interior side, the owner of the home gets to keep it. It's his. Okay, so Am Ravashi Sakina Basakata Vikisa Basar Shansei. So Ravashi says the following. You know, we're trying to figure out who deposited the item in the hole in the wall. So when you're talking about a knife and when you're talking about a pocketbook, so there are really good identifying markers in terms of knowing who put it in. By the knife, you have what's called a handle. Oh. So where the handle is, meaning not the pointy side of the knife, but the handle side of the knife. That where it was placed in the wall. That seems to make the most reasonable, logical sense, meaning forensically, that's a fair assumption. And not only that, but with a purse as well. In other words, the drawstrings of the purse is where it was put into the wall. So that when the person now can go and retrieve his purse, he'll just simply pull on the drawstrings. Okay, great. And according to Rav Ashi now, it doesn't matter how embedded it is in the wall, whether it is on the exterior side or it's on the interior side. Lefi Rav Ashi, everything will be determined by where the handle is and where the drawstrings are. Beautiful. It's beautiful, by the way. It makes a lot of sense. It just happens to be. That's not what our Mishnah says. That's the Gemara is bothered by that. So Ve'ela Masis Ndiktani Mechetsev Alechus Shalom Mechetsev Lefim Shabal Abayis V'lechsei Kata Legavi Kata Labar Yishansei Legavi Shansei Lavar. So the Gemara says, okay, so now that I know the rule of Rav Ashi, so then how do I square the Mishnah? The Mishnah says you figure out which side it's on. No, you don't. According to Rav Ashi, you figure out which side the handle's on. That's the side that it was put in. So the Gemara says, Masisim Be'udra V'naska. The Gemara says, okay, good. So here's what I'll tell you. If we're talking about a knife, and if we're talking about a purse with drawstrings, see Rav Ashi. If we're talking about items that don't have a handle, like bars of gold, or in other words, items that just simply are square in shape, rectangular in shape, don't have a handle side to it, if you will, so then I no longer can use that as a determinant of who put it in the wall. There the determinant will be, which side of the wall is it on? Exterior side, interior side, meaning then you'll see our Mishnah. Simple explanation. Okay. Tani Maya Kosa Mamula Mehem Chokin. Okay, now, you have a wall, and the wall is filled with metzias. So what we're going to do now is that we're going to divide. The interior side is going to go to the owner of the home. The exterior side is going to go to whoever finds it on the exterior side. Good. Chokin. Pshita, the Gemara says, okay, great. That's a brisa, that's a halacha. And that seems to be obvious, meaning right, we would have figured that out. Okay, so the Gemara says no, maybe not. Meaning yes, we would have figured it out, but let's throw a little wrinkle into this. So over here, the wrinkle will go like this. Yeah, it's true that the hole in the wall was filled with metziah from the interior all the way to the exterior side, and yes, it's true. It's going to be divided. Anything on the interior side goes to the homeowner. Anything exterior side goes to the finder on the outside. That part's true as well. But the Bryce is talking about where it's inclined. So it's not the base of the hole, right? The bottom of the hole is not flat, but rather it's working on some sort of angle. So working on some sort of incline. And so therefore you could have made the argument that really all the possessions that were in the hole in the wall were all really on one side originally, but because of the slant and because of the incline, so now it's slid down. That's the argument you could have made. And therefore, so I will now go to the high side of the incline, and I will try to make the argument that all the items there really belong to who's ever on the elevated side of the incline. That's the argument that I could make, and that's what the Bryce is teaching me, that no. In other words, the fact that, yes, it's true, the incline and gravity, and I get all that, but when all said and done, the determinant will be simply interior or exterior side. That's going to be the only determinant. Okay. Well, I say that, by the way, but again, remember, we just did a sugya 2 minutes ago that talked about the handle versus a non-handle item. But, okay, but in other words, put the handle aside. If it's a non-handle item and I find it in the wall, the only remaining determinant is going to be interior, exterior. Okay. Okay, now we get to an Airbnb. Okay. And I don't want to exclude verbal, by the way, from the discussion. It happens to be. I don't know why, but in other words, if and when we rent, so we use verbal. Okay. Anyway, but I'm sure they're both good. And I'm not a sponsor of either one. Okay, so let's go to our Airbnb. So in our Airbnb, so what happens now is that you rented it, obviously, to multiple rentals, multiple renters. So, and then you find an item at the very end. So it belongs to the homeowner. Okay. So probably you're all wondering, because the Gemara is about to ask this question, and that is, why not assume that the item belonged to the last most recent renter? Okay. In other words, if you've had experience renting, so I know we're a little OCD about this. And that is that when we leave the home, so we sweep the home, we do a second sweep, we do a third sweep. In other words, what we try to do is we try not to leave anything there. I'm sure we have, but we try our best not to. And I feel that that's normal behavior. The Gemara is about to point this out. I'm just setting up our upcoming Gemara. And so if that's true, so you find an item, and granted it's Airbnb, and granted you've rented it to multiple people in the last week, in the last 2 weeks, but in other words, why can't we just safely assume that you find an item over there belong to the most recent renter? That's going to be the Gemara's question, and the Gemara's going to have an answer. It will take a minute for the Gemara to set itself up for the question. In order to see the question, we're going to turn to a Mishnah and Shkalim. And I'm admitting right now that it's a little bit complicated. The Mishnah and Shkalim, we did it together, I was going to say not that long ago, but now that I'm thinking about it, a long time ago. The Mishnah and Shkalim, we were holding by it back in 2020. Okay, right. In other words, because right, it was Bracha Shabbos, the first two Masechtas of the Shas cycle, and then Erevin. Okay, that occupied a lot of time. But then right after that, right, we went right to Shkalim. Okay, good. So the is that right?
Psachim.
No, Psachim. Psachim first. You're right. Psachim and then Shkalim. Okay, but anyway, it was a long time ago, 4 years ago. So anyway, so we're going to learn the Mishnah and Shkalim. The Mishnah Shkalim is basically going to, I'll tell you where it's going to land us. It's complicated, it's a bunch of details, but it's going to land us to the point that this idea that people sweep, and because of that, you can assume it's the most recent. Okay, that's where we're going to get from this entire adventure of the Mishnah Shkalim. Okay, let's do it. Let's go on this adventure. V'amai lezo basar basra milo tanan. So let's go after the most recent renter. And don't we have a Mishnah Shkalim? We do. It's the seventh parak of Shkalim. So, money found in Yerushalayim, specifically by the animal sellers. Okay. In other words, people know in Yerushalayim, people need animals in Yerushalayim. You're going to Yerushalayim, you're going to be offering karbanos. So you now are going to make a simple transaction. I'm going to bring money, I'm going to buy animals in Yerushalayim. Obviously, those animals are going to be used as a karban. So now money that was discovered, not by the seller, but right in front of his market. So that money is now what? Meiser Sheni money. Huh? How did you get that? So Rashi points out over here, the background information is the following, and that is that, look, what we've been doing year round is we've been accumulating our Meiser Sheni money. So that we're going to bring it with us to Yerushalayim. So, and I'm not leaving any of my Meiser Sheni money home. I'm going to be bringing all of it. Now, as we're in Yerushalayim with all my Meiser Sheni money, so what am I going to do? So I'm going to buy food with it. Now, the Gemara tells us, Rashi, everything I'm saying is in Rashi. So you can see Rashi inside. I'm just saying it outside. Now, even better than buying food, buying a carbon shlamin. You could do that with Meiser Sheni money? Yes. Unequivocally, yes. So you're going to be buying carbon shlamin with your Meiser Sheni money. And so good. And that's the best way to spend your Meiser Sheni money. And let's even say that you have leftover Meister Sheni money. What are you going to do with it? You're not going to bring it back home with you. So you'll distribute it out in Yerushalayim. Obviously informing people, I got leftover Meister Sheni money. I'm not taking it back home with me. Here it is. You'll give it to the poor people. You give it to your friends. Good. So there is so much Meister Sheni money circulating in Yerushalayim. And again, best practices to buy Karmish Lemon with that money. So, with all that stated, now that I find money in front of the animal sellers in Yerushalayim, so now, likelihood is, that's Meister Sheni money. Good. That's what we're learning in the Mishnah Shkalim. So, and Bahar Abayis Chulin now. In Har Abayis, so they're not sellers of animals in Har Abayis, and therefore, if I find the money by Har Abayis, you can assume that it's Chulin. Now, Yerushalayim b'shar yemos hashana chulin b'shas regal kol meiser. Now in Yerushalayim, now year round, we're going to make a distinction between the rest of the year and yontif time. Rest of the year, it's chulin money. Yontif time, it's meiser sheni money. And again, because of the way I just described it, meaning by yontif time, everyone's up in Yerushalayim and everyone's bringing their meiser sheni with them. Okay, but rest of the year time, so it's going to be chulin money. The Amar Rabbi Shmaya Bar Zera, my time. Now, what is the explanation over here? The explanation is as follows, and that is that before Yantiv, so you have your street cleaners in Yerushalayim, and what they're doing is they're sweeping the street every day. If any money was left over from non Yantiv time, it will be swept away, and that means that when we have when Yantiv time has arrived. So basically, we're looking at clean sweep. Perfect. You thought it. I said it. So we're looking at a clean sweep. And so therefore, any monies now are yontif monies. I say yontif monies. I don't mean money on yontif. I just simply mean money coming as a result of yontif. And again, go back to my explanation earlier about people, everyone coming up, everyone bringing their Meister Sheni, no one leaving their Meister Sheni to take home with them. So again, you have a high a circulation of Meister Sheni money during Yantif. Okay, good. And also, by the way, you can see Rashi over here. Again, this is another more information that we don't need right now, but Rashi over here also explains that Har Abayis are not sweeping, and Rashi says they're not sweeping in Har Abayis. Why are they not sweeping in Har Abayis? So Rashi gives a couple of explanations because of the incline of Har Abayis, because no one's wearing shoes in Har Abayis, and so therefore you're not tracking that much dirt in Har Abayis. Okay, anyway, we don't need that right now. All we need to hear right now is this idea that in Yerushalayim, so everyone's sweeping, and therefore, clean sweep, and therefore, on Yontif, all the circulating money is Meister Sheni. But before Yontif, there was tons and tons of chulin money in Yerushalayim. That's great. That was all swept away. And now, all that's left now on Yontif is just the Meister Sheni money. Good. So we just went through this entire Mishnah in Shkalim, all to make this singular point. And I'm going to read it again. Ama Amrina Kame Kame Azle Vahani Achrina Ninu. So Achinami Kame Kame Azle and Vahani Debasrahu. Good. So once I know that we're sweeping, so now anything found over there is now not from the old, but now from the new. Good. So now let's go over here to our Airbnb. So what happened over here is that we found a Metzia in the Airbnb. Who does it belong to? Well, there's so many people who rented it, it belongs to the owner. The Gemara is now asking a really simple question. Well, why don't you make the following argument? All the previous renters, so they all swept. And now you find something, it most probably belongs to the most recent renter. Strong question. Gemara answers. I'm Rish Lakish Mishumbar Kapara Kigon Sha'asu Pundak Lishlosha Yisrael. So over here, so it wasn't just one renter, it was three people renting it. And now what is three? We all know what three is. Three is a crowd. Three is a, I was going to say Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's overstating it. Okay, but in other words, three is a crowd. And what do we know? Is that when you lost something amongst a crowd, so we remember we did this 2 days ago in the Daf. This was Chafdal and Bab Metzia. And that is that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, so now you can assume Yeush, right? Having lost an item in an airport, any highly trafficked area, so now according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, so now you can assume it's Yeush. Meaning that the person who lost is going to say, there's no way I'm going to recover it. Okay, now you'll also remember, please, and Chav Dalet, that this was a very controversial position of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And not everyone subscribed to this position. Right? The Gemara had multiple questions after he made that statement. But right now, what the Gemara is proposing is that the reason why the owner of the home gets to keep it is because he was renting it not to one person, but rather to three people. And I know it's funny, by the way, and I'm comparing basically an airport filled with people and three renters renting a place. I know. It's not the same feel. But still, three is a crowd, and therefore now you have a lost item. So now you can assume that whoever owned it, one of those three owned it, but in other words, he's going to be like, forget it. I'm not going to recover it. There are two other people that I rented with me. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, so Shema Mina, Alachigor Shema Melazar, and Afila Barav Yisrael. So the Gemara says, okay, but now you're dipping your toe into something which is controversial, and you want to tell me now the halacha is like Shema Melazar, and even if the three of them are Yisrael, again, going back to Dap and Megot to Chav Dalid, the Gemara says, I don't know if that's right. And now you're telling me it's right? So the Gemara says, Ella, so the Gemara says, okay, let's try it this way. So Ella, Amar Rabbi Nasha Bar Yaakov, Gagonshe, you didn't rent it out to Jews, you rented it out to non-Jews. And so when you rent it out to non-Jews and now there's a lost item, so do you have to return an item? No, there's no mitzvah Shavas Aveda if the owner of that lost item is a non-Jew. Again, by the way, remember, there's always going to be a Kiddush Hashem opportunity, but from a Shavas Aveda standpoint, there's no mitzvah of Shavas Aveda. And by the way, Rashi points out, once you're saying that the renters are non-Jews, so you don't have to go with the number three. Rashi makes that point. Tosis pushes back on that point, but anyway. So, okay, good. So where are we right now? So all we're trying to do right now is understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that if you rented out to multiple people Airbnb, and now there was a lost item that was recovered, so the owner gets to claim it. Why not the last renter? Okay, so that's the question that we're trying to wrap our head around. So right now, proposed answer number one, well, we did for a second propose that maybe it's three renters and we're holding like Rosh Hashanah and Lazar, but the Gemara says, I'd rather not say that. So right now, one answer that the Gemara's landed on is that you rented it to non-Jews. Oh, okay, fine. And there's no mitzvah of a Shavuot Aveda. Okay. Rav Nachman Amar, here we are now with our second answer. Rav Nachman Amar, Rabba Baravua, Afilo Tamil Shoshi Yisrael. You rented it to three Jews, and my taima, Ha'ud Anafal Mine Miyash Meimar Amar. Ah. So you rented it to three Jews. Now, we're not going to go like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. I mean, keep that out of the discussion. Because again, that's controversial. And we'd rather keep this like a nice parv discussion. We don't want controversy. So you rented it to three, but these three people know each other. I dare call them friends, but in just a moment, you're going to see they're not that close. So but they know each other, which is the important point over here. So my time. How would enough of me name Yash Mema Amar Michti Inishachrin Allah Badi Alahani? Army kamayu kamazimne lehadri li velo hadri li. So vahashtra li hadru. So ida tai la adure adur ni ali. Vahidalo adure li bedai tai la migzala. So now we get into a little bit of chess. Psychological warfare, if you will. Meaning, there, right? It's almost like Clue. Almost. So in other words, no killing over here, just stealing. And that is that it's just the three of us and I know who the other two people are. They know me. So if I lost an item over there, and right now I only have two possible culprits in terms of who took it, and I can't help but notice, by the way, that he hasn't offered to return it, and he knows it's me and that other person. What's the thought process? The thought process is that he plans on keeping it. Why? Because over here, when I go and I address the situation, I lost an item. Did either one of you find it? Because there are two of them, each one of them now can have plausible deniability. No, I don't know. I didn't see anything. Maybe he did. And the other person will say the same thing. I didn't see anything. Maybe he did. And so now, once there are three people over there and I lost an item, and none of them are forwarding that they found the lost item and returning it to me, it's because they want to keep it and because there are two other people over there. So now I'm stuck, basically. In other words, I can't successfully land an accusation on either one of them. And so therefore, we're going to assume Yeish. Okay. It's a complicated answer. I said it's so funny. I said it's a non-controversial answer. It's true, but it is complicated, though. It's like, in other words, a lot of mind games over here. V'azar Rav Nachman L'tamid, Amar Rav Nachman, Ra Sela, Shenafal Mishnayim Chayv L'Hachzir. Okay, so This is Rav Nachman being consistent with another statement that he made, and that is the following. And that is that you saw a seller fall from one of two people, so you have to return it. Okay. My time, and the reason being the following. We're on the top of the Amud Beis. Meaning that when I have the money falling from one of two people, so now once again we go into the mind of the person who lost the money. Well, there's only one other person that was with me, and so therefore under those circumstances, Amar. So the thinking is Michti that's the only other person that was with me. And now what do I get to do is I get to accuse him. Hey, you stole it from me. And oh, by the way, Rashi points out, it's not just an accusation. It is. But it's more than just an accusation. Rashi points out over here, we're going to go to basement. And he's going to have to make a shvua. Well, what kind of shvua? Rashi points out, shvua thesis. Right? That was the shvua that was imposed by the Amoraim already. Right? Rav Nachman, if I remember correctly. Anyway, works out well, by the way, because this is Rav Nachman making the statement. Anyway, so the, and Nikina Leva Aminale, Antu Deshakite. So now I get to accuse him. So, however, Bishlosha in a Chayav Lahachter. But in other words, if money was fell from a group of three people, and I'm the one who recovers it, now I don't have to return it. Because now what I can assume is that there's the Yeush. Now, why? Again, because of the of the psychological warfare that we just saw moments earlier. So b'shoshen ochayv lachzer my time ahud enough amine vada miayish meimar amar mechti trei hava badai inekina lahay amar lo shakita inekina lahay amar lo shakilte. Now that there were two other people that were with him, so now he turns to one of those two people and he says, "Hey, are you the one who took it? No, it wasn't me. Maybe it was the other guy." And again, now once there are two people being accused, they have plausible deniability. And now the owner of that coin now is given a hope on returning it because he knows that. And because he knows that there's a plausible deniability, so now he's given up hope on never getting it back. And so now, yes, has occurred. And therefore, you don't have to return it. Okay. Now, granted, by the way, this discussion is a little bit tricky because we're talking about money, and we all know. In other words, we are now in day five of the second parak. So we know money's a generic item. It's a non-simon item. And so therefore, just on that alone, you don't have to return it. But obviously, over here, we're talking about a situation where, for whatever reason, you do have to return it. But again, but because it was lost amongst three people, and because now whoever owns it is going to for sure have yesh for the reason that we just described, so now you don't have to return it. Okay. Amar Rava. Just one more point over here on the having lost something amongst three. Amar Rava, hi, Amar Rav B'Shosh, Enechayv Lahachzer, Lo'amar, Nel'deleis Bei, Sheva Prutel, Cho'chad V'chad. Aval Is Bei, Sheva Prutel, Cho'chad V'chad, Chayv Lahachzer. Okay. So, Rava says, look, we just learned together that if money was lost amongst a group of three, I don't have to return it, see above. But that's only when the amount of money is not a Sheva Pruta for all three. In other words, the money that was lost was equivalent to at least three Prutas. However, if it was equivalent to three Prutas, now I have to return it. My time. Emer Shutfa Nina V'lo Miyashe. Because it could be as follows. In other words, there could be a shitfas over here, a partnership over that money. And really, there's not going to be yeush. Rashi over here goes through exactly what the mind games are over here. In other words, it gets even a little bit more complicated, right, what the thinking is. But, in other words, if it's a significant amount of money where I can have now two people being the owner of that item, so now it's not a one versus one versus one, but now it could be a 1v2. Okay. And so therefore, under those circumstances now, because it's a partnership, so therefore, I will accuse and I will take him to court. Okay. Igad Amri Amarav Afagav Deleis Bay Ela Shave Shte Prutos Chayv Lachzer My Taima Emeshut Fe Ninova Chan Minay Achule Achle Lemante Gabe Chavarte. The Gemara says, and what we can even argue is that even if it's two prutas worth of money that was lost, I still have the obligation to return it. Why? Because there's a partnership, and even though two prutas worth, it's not a pruta per person. In other words, but I can have mechila. In other words, one partner can simply say to the other, "Look, I'm going to give all my shares over to you. Now go after him and try to recover the money." Okay, fine. Adkan, that takes us almost to the end of today's daf. We just have a little bit more to go. We're going to get to the Mishnah and Adkan, and we're going to stop. Okay, so where are we right now? So we have spent the entire day today talking about money found in a wall of a person's house. Either the wall is in ruins, or it's really old, or it's a new wall. So, and I find, and not just money, but I find any mitzvah in that. So who does it belong to? So in a wall that was dilapidated or totally fell down. So money that, and any lost item found in that wall, you get to keep it. Harein shalom. We already explained at the beginning of our shiur this morning why that should be. What about if it's a new wall? So it depends whether we're talking about something with a handle, something without a handle, whether you find it on the exterior, whether you find it on the interior. Good, see above as well. And then finally, what we spent the last, let's say, 20 minutes talking about is what about a rental, Airbnb? And now you find an item over there after multiple people have rented it, the owner gets to keep it. With the obvious question of the owner gets to keep it, I don't understand. In other words, why don't you assume it belonged to the last rental? It's a good question. The Gemara gave answers. Okay. We have only one little piece of Gemara to do, but we need just a little bit of setup. Okay. You find a lost item. Okay, so let's go over now what a success story would sound like. You picked up the lost item. It's got a simon. You find its owner. You return it to its owner. Success. You have performed a mitzvah. Great. Good. Deserved of much fanfare. But more importantly, you did a mitzvah. Okay. Now let's talk about a failure. Okay. So, and a failure, what would that look like? I see the lost item. I have no interest in retrieving it. Okay. Failure. I see the lost item. You know what? It looks really good. I'm just going to pick it up and keep it. Double failure. So what we're going to now talk out over here is how many possible fails could there be in a lost item? In other words, success is very simple. Pick it up, identify its siman, return it, find its owner, return it to its owner. Beautiful. Now, just a little more setup over here before we finish off today's daf, and that is what are the potential failures over here? I'm going to read the pasuk quickly. There are three psukim that we have to know. Lo sira shor achicha, o esay o nidachim v'salamta mehem asher tishivim l'achicha, v'chein tasa l'chol avedas achicha asher tova mimena matzasa lo sucha l'salem. Okay. So number one, the Torah says, don't turn your eyes away from it. Okay. So that is an iser in the Torah of lo sucha l'salem. Also, hashev tishivim. In other words, there's also a positive mitzvah that I must positively return it back to its owner. So don't turn away from it, and coupled with, that's the los assay, the assay of return it to him. So if I don't do that, now I'm on the books for violating a los assay and bitul assay. But wait, we're not done. In other words, and let's say I decide that I'm going to take the item and keep it. So there, we can tack on to that also the issur of los igzol. Amarava. Now we're properly set up. Let's go. So Rasela Shanafla. So you find a coin. So Natla Lifne Yeush. Amanas Lagoza. So let's say you pick up the coin before Yeush. Now again, by the way, the coin's a funny example because the coin is a generic item which doesn't have a simon. Okay, but look, put that aside for now. Let's assume that it's a returnable item. I know the coin is the funniest example, but and you pick it up before Yeush with the intention of, I have no intention of returning the item to its owner. In other words, that's money. My Yetzirah got the best of me, the worst of me. And I took the money and I kept the money. So the over Bakulan, so now what you did is you failed on every count. In other words, you're a disaster. Mishum lo sigzol, so number one, you're gazel. Number one. Number two, mishum hashev tishivaim. On top of that, also, there's a positive mitzvah in the Torah to return it, which I've just been mevatel the asay. O mishum lo sucha l'isalem. And also, but again, it's an aveda, which the Torah told me, don't ignore it. Meaning, now granted, by the way, I didn't ignore it. But that's not what the Torah meant when the Torah said, don't ignore it. What the Torah meant is don't ignore it and pick it up and return it. All right, I did opposite. I didn't ignore it, but I took it in order to keep it. That's lo sucha l'isalem. Vis-a-vis the mitzvah of returning it. So afagav de chazal achayesh. So matani udi avlevi iser de avadavad. Now the Gemara says something which is going to be really hard for me to explain. I'll say the Gemara over. it's going to be a struggle to explain it. Now, let's say, after having taken the item for yourself, let's say you at that point in time say, you know what? That was my Yetzahara. That was wrong. I'd like to correct and undo what I did. So what the Gemara has just taught us, according to Rav, is that if after picking it up to steal it, I then subsequently go and return it to its owner, so matanahu di'ayivle, that's a gift, and isur da'avad avad, what's done is done, your isur is done. It's really hard to explain. It's really hard to explain. Because we know that after gzela, so it's a lav hanitak la'aseh. Meaning you shouldn't steal, obviously, but if you steal, so there's a way of repairing that which you did, which is, right, veheshif is gzela. So over here, I pick up a lost item with the intention of stealing it, and now I go ahead and return it. After having violated the Yisurim, I go ahead and return it. I am not undoing that which I did? Rava just said that. I have to admit, that's really hard to explain. Now, what I also have in my back pocket, which I'm really not going to reveal much, is that the Rishonim are really bothered by this Gemara. Right? In the Masifta, he quotes the Ravid, he quotes the Rashba, he quotes the Balei HaTosfos, meaning the Rishonim are really struggling with how to understand this line of the Gemara. Let's leave it alone. It's not, you know, it's a, whatever. I'll just leave it off as a difficulty right now. It's difficult. Now, let's say you do the following, and that is that you pick up the item before Yeush, and again, with the best of intentions. Okay, but, in other words, as the money is now staring at you at the face, you picked it up to return it. So far, so good. And it's Lifnei Yeush. And now, after Yeush, you say, you know what? You don't really give up hope on getting it back. You know what? Let me keep it. So under those circumstances, over Mishum HaShef Tshivim. So you're not a Gazlan. Now, this is interesting, by the way. You're not a Gazlan. Why aren't you a Gazlan? So Rashi writes over here, to be a Gazlan, you have to actively take something. In other words, even though over here, you are keeping something that doesn't belong to you, it's not legally gzela. It's wrong, goes without saying. But I'm saying it. It's wrong, but it's not gzela. Gzela, in order to violate the Isser gzela in the Torah, you have to actively take. That's why in the first example, you actively took it to keep it. That's why it's gzela. Over here, you took it with the intention of returning it. But then, time has come and gone, and you also happen to know that the owner had Yeush. So now your Yetzirah gets the best of you. You know what? I'm not going to return it. So it's not Gzela because it's not active taking. That's Rashi's explanation. And oh, by the way, throughout Shas, I have a couple of other examples in my head right now, which I'll keep to myself. But throughout Shas, Rashi does say this idea that it's only Gzela when I actively take something that doesn't belong to me. So So over here, so you're in violation of Hashem Teshivei, meaning you have an item that belongs to somebody else. You need to return it. You don't return it. Bittul Aseh.
Once there's Yeush, there's no mitzvah to return it anymore.
The problem is you took it before Yeush. So in other words, so it'd be Suri Asaliyadeh. Okay. Now, him timlo aj yisyashu abalim venatla inu over lo mishum ela mishum lo suchale salim bavad. So now, you waited until after Yeush occurred, and now and afterwards you took it. So now, what did you violate? So the only thing you violated, lo suchal lesalem. Why? Because in other words, you knew the item was lost, and what did you do? You ignored it. Yeah, you. I know this is funny, but you actively ignored it. Okay, you understand. In other words, you should have picked it up at that point in time, but you decided, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait. And you wait until after Yeush, and now once Yeush has come and gone, now when you pick up the item, you picked it up ahead, so you get to keep it. But it's still wrong, because you knew of its existence before Yeush. What you should have done is that you shouldn't have ignored it. So the violation over here is lo suchal lesalem. Good. So now, basically, we went over a chart of how many possible fails are there by a lost item when you don't successfully return it. So there's a maximum possibility of three Isurim that are violated, two lavim, and one bitul aseh. And then what we could do is that we could pare it down to two, even one, right? Given the proper circumstances, like we just described. And to finish off today's daf, so I'm a Rava. Okay? Our last halacha that we're going to go over today, and that is the following, and that is that somebody lost money right there in the sand. Okay, right? A practice that's, you know, pretty popular. You know, as if I'm frequently at the beach. Okay, that is, I'm going to plead the fifth in terms of whether I'm at the beach or not. But in other words, but the right and the but anyway, but you lose money at the beach, so there you are with the people with the metal detectors going in and looking for money. So obviously, metal detectors slightly anachronistic over here in this discussion, but the point is not the point's not going to change, which is you see somebody lost money in the sand. You took it. You don't have an obligation to return it. Why not? So my time. So okay. Now, the owner of that coin has yeush, and we're gonna and watch. This is a chiddush in today's daf. And even if you see him now digging through the sand in order to get the coin, he still had yeush. What? That's really hard to imagine. It's hard to understand. But the Gemara explains. So, Meimar Amar. Once again, here we go now into his mind and his thought process. So, Meimar Amar, ki hechad nafal mine didi, achi nafal mine shachrine, umishkachan amidi. I'm not looking for my coin. And there were chances of me finding my coin. It's like finding a coin in the sand. Or as the expression goes, a needle in the haystack. I'm not finding my coin. But you know what, though? However, there's a really good chance that I'm going to find somebody's coin. Meaning, how many people lose their coins in the sand? Tons and tons of people. So what I'm going to do now is that I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go look. Okay? All right. I'm a little bit embarrassed, but I know Marty's going to be happy with this comment. And that is that I lose a golf ball. Okay, so now I'm going to be looking. I'm not looking for my golf ball, but I know I'm not the only one who lost a golf ball. I know others did as well. Okay, so in other words, so even though I'm searching, I'm not necessarily searching for mine. Good. So under those circumstances now, if you go ahead and you find that coin, so now you can assume yesh and you can keep it. Okay, a chiddush of Rava. Adkan, we'll stop over here tomorrow. We'll pick it up with the Mishnah. We'll start anew tomorrow. Our discussions today revolved around, number one, finding something in a wall of somebody's house. Who does it belong to? Who gets to keep it? That was our big discussion for today, culminating with the Airbnb. And that is that you find an item after having rented out to multiple people. Who gets to keep it? The homeowner gets to keep it. The last renter doesn't get to keep it. That's right. But that's hard to explain. And so what the Gemara did today, attempt to explain that halacha. Okay. Admittedly, that was a challenge. That was, for sure, the hardest part of today's daf. The Gemara gave multiple suggestions in terms of how to deal with that. And then finally, our daf capped off today with, and let's say you don't pick up an item or you pick it up to take it and steal it. So how many violations are there? At least possibly three. Lo sigzol, hashev teshivim, and lo sucha lisalem. When do I violate all three? When do I violate just two? And when do I only violate just one? That was the halacha of the Rava. And finally, our last halacha of the day, having recovered a coin in the sand, even though I know who dropped it, and even if I see him looking for it, I still can go ahead and take it and keep it. Yesh occurred. How do you explain that? The Gemara did.